Hallelujah. All right. Well, turn to Acts 25 tonight. I'm not going to spend a ton of time. Matter of fact, I'm going to cut down what I read because I really want to get to we started an area last week and kind of spent most of our time in that area. And the Holy Spirit started speaking to me several things yesterday. And I just started jotting it down quickly. And so I think that's pretty much where we're going to go. And I think it's really important. And so we're going to just get going, kind of run over a few things that we talked about last week. But in Acts chapter 25, let's just pick up where Paul, verse 7. Well, let's even go further. Verse 7. And when he was come, when Paul was come to Festus up in Caesarea at his judgment seat, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood around about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law nor the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure or a favor, answered Paul and said, will you go down to Jerusalem, or go up to Jerusalem, and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. In other words, I don't want to go there. I right here should be sufficient. To the Jews, I have done nothing wrong, as thou well know. And again, I think it's apparent enough to Festus that Paul's not done anything. And so he's just simply saying, you know, I've not done anything wrong. Why would I go down there just to make you happy, make your situation pleasant? Verse 11, for if I be an offender or if I committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. I mean, simply, I'll die if that's what the punishment is. But if there be none of these things whereof they accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal to Caesar, which is just that statement which every Roman citizen, when they're under under arrest in court, that they could appeal to Caesar, and they had to yes, you can stand before Caesar. So then Festus, when he had conferred with council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar thou shalt go. Now, the point here, I brought out last week, and it was just this, it's a subtle thing. These subtle things are what keeps getting me, and that's where we end up teaching on these little things that come along with that. But Paul's been in prison, and Corinthians we read last week where he said many times, oft times in prison. When he wrote it to Corinthians, the only time in Acts that he had been in prison was in Philippi. And he said, oft times. So there had to have been many times that he hadn't talked about, that he had been in prison. So all these times he'd been in prison, times where it had been unjust, times that had been unfair, he's been in prison for the last 2 years. And yet for 2 years, he didn't to appeal to Caesar. He could have appealed to Caesar and been released a lot sooner, but he didn't. And the question becomes, why didn't he? And I think that there's a level of understanding that he didn't do it because of the reality of the circumstance, that if I don't, it's very possible they're going to take me down to Jerusalem. And if I get in Jerusalem again, they're going to be more than desirous to take me out. So I do think that there is that level where God allows you to be understand your circumstances well enough to know I could be in serious trouble. But I believe even to a greater extent that God moved on his heart at that time to get a free trip to stand before Caesar. We heard one person last week, we discussed that one person said, it could have been that he just wanted to be a free man when he stood before Caesar. That could have been a lot of it. But I'm not a person that believes that Paul did a lot of things just because this is the way I thought it would, I should be done. Could he have? I'm not naive enough to think he couldn't have done that. But I believe that majority of what Paul did, he did under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And again, I think we referred to this last week, but I feel like we have to get a running start on here. Romans chapter 7 tells us that Paul had times where he operated by the flesh, and it made him frustrated. But he learned the secret of operating in the Spirit, which is by being led by the Spirit of God. They are the ones that are sons of God. They are the ones that move from technon to huios, I believe that's the way it is, or from just children, infants, to those that are prepared and ready to take over daddy's business. And so we want to, in order for him to get to that point, he had to become very familiar with being led by the Spirit and doing what God wanted to do. Because the thing is, Mark Hankins says this, I put it up on the board several times in our quotes, is that the Holy Spirit's a genius. And if we'll just listen to him and do what he says, he'll make us look real smart too. People will think we're real smart. Well, that's kind of the way it was with Paul. Paul, there's many things that Paul did that it was so subtle that he necessarily didn't say, Lord, what do you think I should do? Again, I am not saying that Paul was perfect. I'm saying that he's just like you and I, that he learned as well as you and I did. But when you get to that point where you're hearing the Spirit of God, clearly you hear that still small voice in you that gives you the direction. There's been times where I'll sit there and I'll listen to people. When I was a younger pastor, I'd listen to people talk about their situations, and I'm like, I've never been in this situation. How do I give a person an answer of something I've never been in the middle of? But I'd just be quiet. And then I would give them an answer, and they'd be like, oh, that's exactly what I needed. And I'm thinking, phew. but I was speaking in tongues. Yes, I was doing that. But then the Holy Spirit gave me the wisdom that I needed to speak to them. Well, that's kind of what the Holy Spirit was talking to us about last week, is that there are times. There's a timing in the Holy in the Spirit realm where God says it's time for something to happen. In the fullness of time, Jesus was birthed. In the fullness of time, he started his ministry. In the fullness of time, he went to the cross. It was at the, and we use the Kairos time, it was at the appointed time, the time where it needed to be done. It was at a Kairos time that Isaac was born. Now again, Isaac could have been born 25 years earlier. Well, Pastor Thad, what's the delay? Well, Pastor, there's 25 years delay, and Abraham and Sarah weren't getting any younger. And I kind of get the feeling that God was merciful for 25 years, and then at about 100 years old, when he says at this time next year you're going to have a child, at this Kairos moment next year, you're going to have a child. Sarah at that time, she's saying, seriously? We don't even do things. What are you talking about? How can we? We're too old for all this stuff. And he said, don't you ever. He brought her husband in on it and said, why did she laugh at me? Well, I didn't laugh. You said this. Okay, I may have left. But seriously, I'm old. How am I going to go through all that kind of stuff at this age, right? And God said, I can't have you. And this goes back to even what we're talking about on Sundays. God can't have you shooting a Kairos moment in the foot by disobeying and by not speaking what needs to be spoken. Now, the Holy Spirit, we talked last week about a lot of times there's those delays in Kairos moments or the God-given, God-appointed times because of lack of faith, lack of obedience, lack of aggravation over current circumstances. I don't know how else to put that. I guess satisfaction without it is but just aggravate you. You're okay with how things are. I go to church. We sing some songs. Pastor Thad talks. I go home and I get on with life. I go to work. I work my 8 hours, 9 hours or more. I come home. I go to sleep. I wake up. And I just go through that day after day, and I'm okay with it because my bills are paid. My family's happy. I'm happy. Things are okay. 425 years it took the children of Israel to get ornery enough, to get frustrated enough with what they were going through before they said, enough's enough. Before they begin crying out and saying, this is not what I've signed up for. This is not the covenant that was between my Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is not what God said it was ours. Took them 400 years, over 400 years to get to that point. Group of children of Israel, when they left there, never did get to that point where they were like, well, let's go back there. And God was saying, I've got a kairos moment. I've got a place flowing with milk and honey that I want you in. I want you enjoying. I want you operating in. But you can't do it until you're aggravated enough where you're currently at. And the final one was lack of preparation. God's not going to take you somewhere if you're not ready for it. Now you may ask this, and I'm just going to point this out because I want to get through this next section here. What if I've missed my kairos moment? Did I lose it forever? You know, if I've not prepared and I wasn't prepared, my kairos time comes along. Did I miss it forever? Am I gone? If I didn't operate by faith at that time, maybe my faith was, I didn't take faith serious enough back then. And did I miss it forever? And the point is no. The point is, you missed that time, but it's kind of like, what was it? Last night, Alice, what's your name again? Jessica, my wife and I. We were getting ready. We've been trying not to eat after 7 o'clock, which means nothing, not even ice cream, which is really a sad story. And so we don't eat past 7 o'clock. And so, she got home from gallivanting around Lexington with my daughter, at about 6 o'clock. And she's just kind of like, I'm like, honey, are we going to eat or not? We got 1 hour to eat. And I was like, I'm going for peanut butter and jelly if you're not going to do that. And she goes, well, we got those tomatoes. How about some more BLTs? And I was like, I don't know. So long story short, we go, the new Dollar General that's now a little bit closer to us than all the other Dollar Generals in town just opened up. And so let's drive there. So we get in the car. We're driving down. We turn left there off on 60, and we start moving. And I've never turned there before. And so we're busy just chit-chatting. I'm glad to have my wife home. My daughter hijacked her all day, and so I'm glad to have my wife home. We're just, and all of a sudden I'm like, I just passed it up. You know all I did? I stopped what I was doing. I got back on the right road and turned around. It. That's why I repent. Change the way you're thinking. Change the way you're doing stuff. The longer you delay on repenting, the longer you delay on turning around. I'm not saying that you get on the altar, I'm such a bum, Lord. That's not what repent means. Repent means a change of mind, a change of direction. That's all I did. I turned around, I went back, and we got there. So whatever slowed you down, change it. Start walking by faith. Start speaking the right words. Start doing the things that you know to do. Amen? All right. Go to Esther chapter 4. I want to keep going on this here. Again, this is what the Holy Spirit was revealing to me. And so I've got to move quickly. And then, so if we get done early, hallelujah. It's always my effort. You know, it's my effort. Hallelujah. I As always, when I played, when I would shoot baskets with my kids and we'd get into the free throw contest, it was always my effort to never miss one, but every now and then I'd miss one. And so that's one of these. I try to hit where I get done by 8:30, but this might be one of those days I don't make it by 8:30. Yes, Pastor, we believe you. Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Again, notice what it says here. It says, now we know the story of Esther. We know everything that this leads up to. But it says, if thou altogether holdest your peace at this time, then there shall be, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise unto the Jews from another place. God's going to deliver this Kairos moment through someone, and if it's not going to be you, and he goes, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether art thou come into the kingdom for this Kairos moment, for this time, for this appointed time. In other words, you thought you were coming in here so you could sit in the palace and you could get pampered and you could look pretty and you could be one of the many hosts that maybe got daily baths and maybe we got to wear perfume and you got to be pampered by your harem and all that, all these people that were around you. You may have thought that's why you got this position as queen, but it was for this Kairos moment. You got to take advantage of this Kairos moment. You're the one that God's placed in this place, in this time, in this moment, with this gifting, for this Kairos moment. And believe, beloved, I believe that's the way we are with our church, our ministry, is that we're in Kairos moments, moment in time. I was thinking more about the area of how people want God to rush. And again, we're gonna hit the. I'm going somewhere here. I just want to get through this little by little. But God, why wasn't yesterday? I don't want to struggle with finances anymore. And all it does, all that happens is when I bring my tithe, it seems like I struggle with finances because I'm missing that $150. And I feel like I'm struggling with finances if I just miss that tithe. I don't want to have to deal with sowing, giving, finances, giving to people. It just seems like I struggle more. Well, whatsoever things you sow, that you'll reap. There's a harvest. There's a Kairos moment. There's a point. There's a moment appointed for you to. And again, all of us want it to happen today. All of us want it to happen now. Flip up there, Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to start at 11, I think. Here we got 11, not 10, not 6. No, but notice, I like this. This is, now, how many believe that Malachi 6, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 is God's way of operating? It's what God wants. That 10 and 11 and 12 are his blessings that are connected to bring all your tithe into storehouse, there may meet mine house. Prove me now here, which says, Lord, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and that not enough. Is that a blessing? Is that God's best? Us to tithe and then him pour out extra? And I know a couple of you said yes. I'm just making sure all of you agree with me on this. Chapter 11's blessing too. And I will rebuke the devourer. Is a rebuked devourer part of God's best? Is it what he wants for us? And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. So stuff that has come forth, you're going to enjoy. That's part of God's best, right? Neither, and I think this is so interesting. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before its time. In other words, when will your vine cast its fruit? On time. Isn't that interesting? Is it's not going to come sooner? You're not going to say, well, Lord, I was really hoping to have corn tonight. I know I planted my corn last night. but I really wanted to, you just might as well go to the store. It's kind of like when we went to Cave Run with our kids. It's been several years back. But our plan was, Ryan loved fishing. So he was going to go out. Did we go on the pontoon that day? And we were going to get a bunch of fish and fry the fish. And we were so excited about that. And that night, we feasted on fish. It was, what, $4.99 a pound at Kroger? Yeah, we were like, we didn't catch nothing. If you planted yesterday and you're expecting a harvest today, there's a time. And if you're, listen, and this is the really cool part. If you're under the blessing of God, it won't come too soon. It won't come before the time. It'll come at the time of that is supposed to come. We want it yesterday. We want to see that. And again, why do we sow in every season? Eventually, we're reaping on every wave. The reason most times, we miss out on our harvest, or it seems like harvests come only every so often, maybe once a year, twice a year, is because probably about Christmas time, we sowed some seed to some people, we gave some gifts to some people, and that's all we sowed for the year. I didn't think we had a cricket problem until right there. And we're like, why does it only seem like I get blessed once a year? Because you're not in the habit of sowing. It also could be that way too many times you're not bringing your tithe. So you don't have a right. Amen. Pastor Ted, go move on to something that we like better. Jesus came to the man whose son had a demon. Well, do I want to go there? Because I'm already down here. Think about Ishmael. Ishmael was wanting the harvest before its time. And all it did was bring heartache. We talked, Pastor Mike talked Sunday during offering about, it's my money and I want it now. Beloved, one of the greatest things that hurts the kingdom of God is us not understanding timing. Go to Proverbs 27. This is now my favorite verse in the Bible. We're going to read it out of the King James Version, but then we're going to read it out of the Passion Translation. I know, you're all going, ooh, this one's going to be loaded. It's my favorite one now. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 14. He that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. Now, you've got to read it out of the Passion Translation to really understand this. It says, do you think you're blessing your neighbors when you sing at the top of your lungs early in the morning? Don't be fooled. They'll curse you for doing it. Timing is everything. That makes me laugh because we have a pastor's thread, text thread, that we have, and we'll discuss things. For the most part, 99% of it is just us either putting Rick Renner videos on there or just something stupid on there. But Pastor Mike is an early riser. He has to leave the house, I think, at the latest 6 o'clock every morning. And him and Sherry, they go to bed early. They get up early. They get up about 5 o'clock or even before then, and 4:30. And they have their coffee. They have their breakfast together. They have some time together in the morning. And I'm happy for him, except when he sends his text in our thread at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, man, I love you, Pastor Mike. I love the thread. I'm glad that you sent me that one. There's been a lot of them that really ministered to me from Rick Renner at that 5 o'clock wake up call. But man, I still got an hour or two left at least to sleep. And you're shouting the blessings at 5 o'clock. I've not cursed him yet. I have mumbled under my breath a little bit. But timing. It comes down to timing. It comes down to what are you doing in the process? What are you doing in the process of getting there? It's timing. I mean, I could go back there. And I'm not going to go back there. But remember what Jesus said when he brought the demonic son to him. And the disciples were like, we couldn't cast him out. He said, I brought him to your disciples. He couldn't cast him out. And Jesus said, it doesn't come out but by prayer and fasting. And Jesus neither prayed nor fasted. In the time leading up, he prepared himself. And so, beloved, it is important that when these moments come of speaking, of blessing, that we're doing everything we can to listen and prepare. Listen and prepare are just two of the most important things you'll ever learn to do. Now, many people like to focus on the fact that God does not run on our timetable. You know, they'll bring up scriptures like, well, you know, God says that to God, a thousand years is a day, and a day is like a thousand years. And so he doesn't know any different, you know. And to that, I will say this, and I will say it with respect, but I'll say that's bupkis. I think that's a word. That is incorrect. Who's the apple of his eye? Who is created in his image? Who's tattooed on the palm of his hands? And so you think he doesn't understand how our time works? That's the first thing I'd say. It's a ridiculous concept. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now. Look. He said, oh, okay, all right. Go to 2 Corinthians 6:2. We got to see this. Well, God doesn't work on our timetable. That's ridiculous. Listen, folks, I love God. But if he decides to pour out his blessing on me in a thousand years, I've at least got a bone to pick with him. I'm not trying to be disrespectful by any stretch of the imagination. I'm saying, listen, he himself said, we're on this earth for a period of time. And the times that he has in our life, there's a time for seed, hot time, and harvest in that span over and over again. Are you there? For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted. All right, there's an accepted time. Well, what's the accepted time? Well, Pastor Thad, it's just whenever we pray right, it's accepted. In the day of salvation, have I secured thee? There's a day of salvation where it'll come, manifestation where it'll come. There's a time accepted where he hears us, and there's a time that he'll come. We don't know. It's just a time. It's just a time. We don't know the time. God works on his timetable. Well, God helps us out. Aren't you glad he helps us out? He said, now is the accepted time. I hear you now. And now is the day of salvation. Now. You can't get any more time-driven than that. So when's he going to hear you? When's manifestation in his mind, in his heart? Now. God focused. He is fully aware of our times, that what we have need of now, when our due dates are. And again, I'll say this, and religion is so stupid. Well, God knew you needed to be kicked out of that house. That's why He didn't supply your rent for you until you got kicked out. That's ridiculous. And again, I'll say it this way. If I'm booted out of my house because I wasn't able to pay anything, and I had zero money, and I prayed, I sowed, I gave, and I still didn't have money, and they kicked me out of my house, and after I'm out of my house, after the clouds, and I've lived in a box down by, in a van down by the river for too long, after I've done that, and then God goes, oh, now's the time. God, I love you. Well, I was building character in you. See, these things don't even make sense. It doesn't sound like a good daddy to me. Psalm 68:19 says, in an unappointed day, He loads us with benefits. Every day, now. When's the accepted time? Now. When's the day of salvation? Now. Daily. Loading us. Now, God absolutely understands our clock, our due dates, our time. He takes it seriously. I'm hoping I get this through clearly, and I may have to read it to make sure. The reason this mentality has snuck into the church, that God doesn't care about our time, is because we don't understand or respect God's time. When He says to move, we are to move. When we are not honoring His time, we will miss our Kairos moments. I want that. When He says wait, we wait. When we disobey Him, we will miss those moments. And Christians for way too long have been missing those, they're missing their moments because they have no respect for God's timing. God says give, they don't give. They're like, but Lord. And then they can't figure out why I gave back then and it's still not coming. Because you're not respecting God's time. I see it like this, and I want to kind of hurry because I do have 4 points I want to get across to you, but I don't... the way He views things is different. That's, I think, the best way for us to understand it. Not that His time, not that He doesn't look at our time, the way He sees things. Think about it. Do armies attack when the other army is at its most alert? No, they want to attack at the nighttime when they're sleeping. When their weapons are off to the side, when they're... And God can see that. God sees the weaknesses in the enemy. He sees the weaknesses around us. He sees the weaknesses in areas, and he's able to say, wait. Okay, now. Okay. Let me give you another illustration of this. And you've heard T-shirts, bumper stickers, God is my co-pilot. Other people say, I don't want God. God is my co-pilot. He's my pilot, you know. And I say no. He's not my pilot. He's my air traffic controller. Because, again, the pilot sees what's ahead, just right around him, but the air traffic controller sees all the bleeps on the screen. They see everything around. And I want to say it like this. There is a correct time for you to land. Not all times are safe for you to land. All you have to do is trust the one that sees the radar. If they're not letting you land, it isn't because it's not going to happen. there's just a time that for you to land. That's how God views things. God views things in when is that time that you can that you can move into that blessing, that blessing can be released to you. Now, I'm gonna build on this a little bit. And these are the four things I want to share with you, because Pastor Lisa shared, I think it was on Monday, a Facebook post. Was it something that you reposted from that you reshared from Lynn Hammond? And Lynn Hammond, her area of expertise is prayer. She loves prayer. But the statement was something, well, it's not something of this effect. This is what she said. When the Holy Spirit wants you to pray for someone, remember He will often provide a gentle nudge or a reminder about that person. Don't take it lightly. When you remember somebody, pray for them. How many times have you just been through your day and you just think about Pastor Thad, or you think about Pastor Lisa, or you think about your mom or your dad, or you think about this person or that person, and you go, oh, hope they're doing good today. And you just keep driving, you just ignore it. There's a nudge happening. And the Holy Spirit said it to me like this. After I read that, I wrote down on a sheet of paper real quick. God knows the right time for us to do some things. And our ability to honor His time, to respect His timing, will do everything, means everything for us to meet up with His timing. Okay? Are you with me? Our ability to respect His time when He gives us this nudge. How about, and I'm just going to use this one, in prayer or intercession. Now, some of y'all get freaked out by that. Not all of us have the gift of an intercessor. All of us are called to intercede. Does that make sense? Not all of us. Sister Beulah has the gift of an intercessor. So when she views things, she's always viewing things from the viewpoint of an intercessor. She's always thinking, I need to cover that in prayer. Always. That's her first line of defense. My mama was a servant. And everything that she ever saw was from through the lens of a servant. So she would sit there and she'd think, this needs to get done, this needs to get done, that needs to get done, this needs to get done. And she would always be thinking about that 100 miles a minute. And other people wouldn't do it. Other people would be like, they'd just be sitting around doing nothing. And my mom would get so irritated. It wasn't until I was older in life that I realized she actually got irritated. Because she would go, why is everybody, I would be in there and I'd go, Mom, do you need any help? Yeah, I do. I said, okay. And then she'd just sit and stare at me. She goes, why is nobody helping? And she's there serving them. She's there bringing them beverages and coffee and drinks. And she's serving them. But that was her gift. That's how she viewed things. Well, an intercessor is someone who sees things, views things from that lens of praying and interceding for people. All of us are called to intercede. My grandma, and I've told this story before, but my grandma, back during World War II, my uncle Alvin was in the war, and he was on one of the ships that was over in that area. I'm not sure exactly. But one night, my grandma was woke up, and when she was woke up, she just started thinking about Alvin, and then just had this feeling, you need to pray for him now. So she immediately, she didn't know what she was praying for, so she immediately began speaking in tongues and praying, and after about I think it was a half hour, an hour, it released, and she went back to sleep. And so a couple days later, she got news that at that moment, at that time, that there were like three or four ships that were coming into harbor, wherever the harbor was, and all of a sudden, the enemy opened fire on them. And a couple of them were majorly damaged. Alvin's was not. It was the safest one there. Now, what would have happened if my grandma would have said, I'm too tired, I'll do it in the morning? If she would not have respected God's time. My Uncle Alvin became a pastor. Pastored many years. What would have happened if there wouldn't have been an honoring of God's time period? Everyone gets directed by God to pray for others. But do you pay attention to the nudge? His time. How about sowing seed? God knows the right time for you to sow seed. Now again, I believe all the time sowing seed is important. I believe the seed is something that you can put in action. You can keep sowing. You give to seven, go ahead and give to eight. You know, I believe that's always yours. But there are certain times where God wants us spiritually sensitive, because a certain situation could be time sensitive. I'm going to share one with you here that I read. I was actually looking for a different story, but this one really answered a lot. You know, it really hit me strong, because Jerry Savelle talks about a time where he's getting ready to go to Memphis, and he had a service in Memphis, and he was getting everything packed, and while he's packing and getting all the stuff put in there, the Holy Spirit said, "Go take Joe some money," told him the amount. And he's like, "Man, I'm in the middle of packing right now. When I get done packing, I'll run it over to him before I leave." And so he finished packing. Well, in the process of finishing packing, guess what he did? He forgot. And so he gets in the car and he's on the road to Memphis. He's almost to Memphis, and the Holy Spirit said, "You need to get Joe some money." Told him the amount. And he said, "All right, I'm driving right now." This was days before you do it on your phone. "And I'm driving right now. When I get there, when I get to the hotel room, I'll take care of it." He kept driving, obviously thinking about, you know, what he's going to, all the things he's going to preach, all kind of stuff. He gets there, he gets checked in, goes through his evening, goes to sleep. God wakes him up in the middle of the night. And again, Joe was believing for something very time sensitive, a now type need. And here's a couple statements that Jerry made. He said, God and Joe were both doing their jobs. Joe was praying and believing, God was moving, but I wasn't doing my part. So Jerry forgot again. In the middle of the night, God wakes him up, said, "I told you to send that money to Joe." And he said, "God," he said, "I'll do it when I get home." And God said, "That's not good enough. Call your wife now and get that money to Joe now." This is middle of the night. And Jerry was like, "But it's the middle of the night. Everybody's sleeping." God's like, "Joe's not." Now here's what God told him. And this hit me so big. He needs it now. In fact, he needed it hours ago. He's standing in faith, believing me to meet his need. Now this, beloved, if this doesn't get you, because have you ever found yourself in this situation? I've talked to several people today about meeting his need, and all of them have responded in the same way you have. God ever told you to do something, you didn't want to bother Pastor Thad by coming over and doing it? God ever told you to give something and you're like, "I'll do that Sunday morning," and you maybe did or you maybe didn't? When's the best time to obey God? At the accepted time. If you're 100 miles away from somebody, you know, whatever, across the country from somebody, drop it in the mail today. That hit me. He said, "I've been talking to people all day, and they've all responded in the same way. They had something better to do. They'll get to it later." Beloved, if we don't respect God's time, when He speaks to us to do something, we cannot be surprised when our moments of harvest get delayed. I'm going to read this rest of this to you. Because God told Jerry, he said, "Son, there's a spiritual law that you release in your life by acting that way." I told you to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's why your needs sometimes go days before they're met. It's not my fault. I spoke, but you caused me to speak to people who delay and won't obey quickly, who hesitate to put it on and put it off. You set the pattern in your own life of the way you act. Is that the way you want to live the rest of your Christian life? Man, this is why I thought I've got to take the time. I understand that we're right at that point of when I want to quit, but I have these couple of things that I'll do quickly. But man, this stuff hit me so strong, is that if we're not respecting God's time, why do we? Yes, God is God. God is good. God is amazing. God is wonderful. God is good. God is great. Thank you for the food we ate. All that kind of stuff is absolutely true. But it's however, whatever we sow, however we sow, it'll be given to us. God knows the right time for you to witness. It's an amazing thought. But there are times when the hearts of people are more receptive to Jesus. Now, some of those times could be funerals or through tough times or through holes in their lives where they're just looking, they're searching for something. They said a lot of times during COVID, when people were going through all that kind of stuff, there was a great hunger for the things of God. And that's why the devil shut down churches, because there was a hunger. But churches handled it wrong. To think about this, it could have been a meme that came across their site earlier that day, and they can't shake it. And they're ready to receive. They're ready. They're ready. All they need is someone to plug in. Have you ever had that feeling I need to go tell that person Jesus loves them? And then maybe let it go just because it would be awkward. I heard that Charles Manson, while finding followers, simply would take advantage of people who were lost and wanted to feel accepted. One person who studied the Manson family said that if those same people that he found and loved happened to be talked to by a Christian and witnessed to at that same moment, at that time, they would have ended up being radical Christians, evangelists, and would have turned the world upside down for Christ. But Christians weren't taking advantage of the time. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. I like the Amplified version. It says, making the most of every time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Quit letting the enemy have time. God knows when people's hearts are ready to receive. He knows when they're at that point. In the same way that He knows when you need to sow seed, in the same way He knows when you need to give a prayer, He knows when people's hearts are right at that point. And beloved, we need to be receptive to His time. And go ahead and share. Go ahead and love. But I don't know what to say, Pastor. What would I say? Open your mouth and He'll fill it. And finally, God knows the right time for us to encourage, compliment, edify one another. I love Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, where it says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and much more as you see the day approaching. You know what we're supposed to be doing at church? We're supposed to worship, and we're supposed to listen to you preach and exhort one another. If you're not exhorting one another, you're not doing what you're supposed to come to church to do. If you're not encouraging one another, complimenting one another, loving on one another, edifying one another, building one another up, you haven't met your job here. Beloved, perhaps the reason you feel like your time isn't being understood by God isn't because it's not isn't because it isn't being understood. It's because you've not been sensitive to his time. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. And that goes with your time. Amen. What nudging have we... Don't get angry. Don't get upset. Don't get frustrated. Pastor, what nudging have we ignored? What things have we just let go because somebody else can do it, somebody else will do it? I had somebody come up to me one time here and say, well, there's just a couple of us. When you talk about certain things that need to be done in church and money given, there's only a couple of us that I feel could actually meet that. And so I feel like it's got to be either myself or this person that would give to that. And I'd say I wholeheartedly disagree. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe it's the one that needed to. Maybe it's the one that's been believing God for a harvest in their lives, but they keep rejecting God's timetable for stuff. And then they're getting frustrated. So whether it be your prayer, whether it be a seed sowed, whether it be witnessing and sharing Jesus with others, or whether it just be an encouraging word, listen. Let your spirit be so sensitive to Him. And again, this goes, I was talking, I'm not going to get into it now. It's going to be a sermon I'm going to preach at some point because I have it written on my, on a note, post-it note on my computer screen. And I've been thinking about it all day long because, man, it's grabbing my attention. Respect His word. Respect His time. Respect what He speaks us to do. Because when we respect His time, man, He honors ours. Some of y'all heard that statement where he said, I'm not going to speak to the ones that will do things immediately. And you say, how wrong is that? First of all, it's the law of seed time and harvest. But second of all, if all God ever does is find, let's just say me, and Pastor Thad, you're the only one in this church that ever responds to me right away when he wants something sowed, when something given. So you're the only one I'm going to talk to. Who's the only one in this church that's going to get blessed? And all you guys are going to be like, well, Pastor Thad gets blessed. What about me? So he's going to keep giving you opportunities to quit dragging your feet, to quit ignoring his timetable, quit ignoring his voice. He's going to keep giving you opportunities because he wants you blessed. Let's stand together. I hope Pastor Thad made sense and all that kind of stuff because it hit me strong and just, well, I'm working. I know. And there might be a Kairos moment waiting for you. I have a friend of mine that I went to Bible college with. He pastors up in Pennsylvania. He seems just like a really... very, very society driven. He's a chaplain for the police department, and his church is very. But he deals very strongly with witnessing and sharing Jesus in public, and he'll put things on. He'll say something like, "Marie Smith just called me and led her best friend to Jesus, and is excited because she's coming to church with her this Sunday." How many want a testimony like that? Well, God's got the time. How many times have we not said something to a person because they've turned us down 5 times? Well, their hearts weren't ready yet. Heavenly Father, I don't stand up here because I've got it all figured out. I stand up here because I'm your servant. And you're speaking to me too. Lord, it is essential for us to be sensitive and respectful to your timetable. That what you speak for us to do, that we do. that we don't drag our feet, we don't slow down, we don't wait for the better time. Man, it'd be just like an airline pilot saying, I don't feel like landing right now. But you can't land in 5 minutes. We got more planes coming in. I'm just going to fly around up here in some circles for a little while longer, but we need you to land now. I'm going to do things in my timetable. There's about ready to be a whole lot of chaos in that pilot's life simply because he won't do things in the time period of the one that can see the whole thing. Heavenly Father, you know what we have need to do, when we have need to do it. Turn right now. Turn left now. Go ahead now. Stop. You know it all. Our job has to be to respect your voice, respect your time. And it's funny how once we've done that, how many Kairos moments we will tap into simply through respecting your time, honoring your voice. We love you, Father. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.